it is a sad day because the day of Jehovah is near and the Almighty brings violence. Joel chapter 1 verse 15 of the Word Green Version from 2003, our daily scripture for today, little children. And I feel I've beaten in less than 24 hours the throat infection that was coming on very strong at the time when I took the last 6 grams of vitamin C. So I took at least 17 grams, probably a little more than that, more like 18 grams, I think, of vitamin C ascorbate. In the ascorbate form is 17 grams of ascorbate, maybe 18 grams of ascorbate, let me think. No, 17 grams would include the 1 gram of slow release, because I took the ascorbate in 2 gram amounts, so it actually might be 19 grams altogether, but something like that. But I've got it written down, I can check it anytime. That was, you know, a significant infection if it takes 19 grams of vitamin C to kill it. That's a big infection. That's a, you know, it's a severe, but by no means can you compare that with a 100 gram infection or a kilogram infection, of course, but it's a 17 gram is much more than a 10 gram or a 6 gram infection. So, and I'll never know what it was, but I would estimate it was probably, I'm guessing, I mean, that it was probably strep throat. It's what it felt like possibly coming on, but, or certainly some kind of flu or throat infection. But whether it's viral or bacterial, it doesn't matter with vitamin C. It will beat the infection every time. But you do have to be quick and persistent at taking it. In our study, I've got some exciting things to share. I forgot this other number that Jackson gave in his book. Volume 2 of Jackson's Chronological Antiquities from 1752. On page 111, it says 2,809 years. Let's make sure that's right. Let's just verify it. See what we can do here. Pop that up. Yeah, there it is. So Jackson says, what is that? Oh, it jumped to page 9. Page 111. I was on page 111. I was ready to look at it, and then, excuse me for that, whatever happens, it wasn't my doing. Here's 110. Okay, so page 111 of this volume 2 of Jackson's book, Chronological Antiquities, from 1752. Right here, you see, that's the name of the book, John Jackson, volume 2. Page 111, he says, he calculates, he reduces the 34,201 lunar years or months from the old chronicle into 2,809, which is hard to read, but down here you see the number. He repeats it again, 2,809 years. And how that works is he just takes the numbers from the old chronicle that we can see for ourselves. But let's do that calculation also. He takes 34,201, right? 34,201. 34,201. And now subtract the 30,000 years for, I'm trying to think which god, one of the gods that he names, doesn't matter which one because it's just a number given there, 3984, subtract that, which is the rule of another group of gods, I believe, and then there's 217 years for the demigods. I think that's what. And then the answer is zero, showing that that's how he got the number. It's by adding up. And I'll show you that if I can find it here. Hang on a second. We've got as soon as I find it. Oh, I restarted the browser, so I have to go and find Dynasty 1 again of Manetho in Fotheringham, in case we want to look at that, which we probably will. But also, I need to get and bring over this, and that's not going to be on the right page either, probably, the Old Chronicle, which will take a while to load. There it is. Actually, that's not it. Maybe it's on Pseudo-Manetho. That's it. We're here. Okay, so this is on in Waddell's book on page 229. 1940, the book by Waddell called Manetho with an English translation. Okay, so it's the Old Chronicle chapter. Page 329 in Waddell's book from 1940. The first printing was 1940, and this is just a reprint of some kind or whatever, but it's identical to the 1940 edition, as I understand it. So we have the 30,000, and then we have the 3984, and we have the 217. So that's where he got it from, the Old Chronicle of Egypt. Okay, that's what that's called. So when we do the calculation, we proved that he used that number to. Then he did the number of lunar years he calculated from that as being 2809. But you notice when we add to that 2741, what do we get? Aha! 5550. Isn't that remarkable? Because that's year one of Adam, or the creation. The year one of the creation in our chronology. So he's just helped us verify our blessed genealogy, the year one of Adam. As long as 2141 is the right starting point, but we've already shown that that's the time that we believe was when the land was divided up, the land of the earth was divided up right after the dispersion, or at the time of the dispersion. This is when it was divided up, 2741, in our chronology. Now, we've used the number 2711, right? But if we take 2741, I'm still not used to this calculator. If we take 2741 minus the 21 years of Typhon, who was the one who killed, he was the brother of Osiris, who was responsible for the death of Osiris. Or some people say, I guess, Thoth. They identify Thoth as being the same person as Typhon, but whoever it was, it's about 30 years difference. Well, Thoth supposedly, according to Eusebius, let's look at that. According to Eusebius, Thoth ruled 27 years. Right here. Right? Athothis, or that's evidently Thoth, and then we have Menes 30 years. This is according to Eusebius in the first dynasty of Manetho. Dynasty 1, Manetho, Eusebius, Menes 30, and Thoth 27. Okay. So since 27 and 29 are just both roughly 30, it's pretty similar. But we can make refinements maybe later, but let's just subtract. You get 2712, which is very close to 2711, which is the other important date that we've been working with all along, right? Now, I don't think we're finished the work. I think we're still... I'm trying to unify so that 2741 and 2711 can be more... easily, you know, unified or explained, because 2711 would be better than 2741, since we've already explained so many other things using 2711, wouldn't it? I mean, it seems like it would be better if it were 2711. But the other thing is, 2741 is also a good number when we subtract the 815 years to get down to the time of Joseph. 1926 is the answer, which is only 3 years different from 1923, which is the year one of Joseph ruling all of Egypt in 1923 at the age of 30 years in our chronology. He was born in late in 1954 BC in our chronology. It's very noisy today. The cars are running around generating a lot of bass, which low frequency sound that can just go through walls like nothing. So I apologize for the noise in the background, but so we have 1926. It's not too bad for, you know, compared to 1923. So the 2741 does offer a lot of benefits, but let's see what else it does. I want to show you something else. If we take 2741, I think this is the one, and we take the number that we just had, 3984, which is the number of years, of which really is months. So we have to divide it by the number of months in a year, the lunar months, which is 12.3682.6714. And then we add the 217 years, assuming those are real years, in this case, rather than the way Jackson did it, which was imagining those to be months as well. But we're taking it as real years now. If we do that, we get 3280.11. That's 2741 plus 3984 divided by 12.3682.6714 plus 217. 3280.11, which is the year 3281. In the BCE time period, it's the year 3281, and that's exactly 1 year after the commencement of the deluge, so that's exactly the time of the end of the deluge, the same year as when the deluge ended. The 0.11 indicates it's late in the year, 3281, apparently. So it's not maybe perfectly accurate. It's hard to say exactly what it means. It's just that it's remarkable that it comes out to anything that's significant. But it's our actual, the end of the deluge, which implies, once again, that this... And also, okay, there's one more thing. Yeah, the 217, when we take the other important thing, I think, here. Let's add 2741 plus 217. What do we get? See, it's 2958. It's pretty close to 2932, which is the death of Noah in our chronology. He lived 350 years after the deluge. So that actually is an interesting thing too. So there's a lot of close. I wish it were even simpler and better. Of course, if we could subtract from 58, you know, those 26 years, we'd be getting 2741 minus 26, and then we'd have 2715, which is sort of close to 2716, one of the dates that we used before instead of 2711. But it's not simple enough, right? It's too complicated to get into these kinds of things. So we don't worry about that too much. But those two calculations that we just did there, one of which added up to 5550 and the other one, 3282, of course, they were done assuming different things about the number 217, so it's not quite simple enough yet. We don't have it figured out yet. But the other thing is, if we add 3282 plus the 2268, which is our sort of magic number, we get the time of Adam, 5550. So the question is, what is 2268 in terms of the number of lunar months? It's times 12.3682 26714. 12.3682674. And by the way, I'll show you how to get that, but the 28,051 years, which is similar to that 30,000 years that was talked about, where we just calculated the 3280.11 from the other two numbers, 3984 and 217. Well, the 30,000 component was almost the same as this, you know, it's roughly, since 30,000 sounds like a rounded off number, 28,051 could be the right number for that. So that could confirm also, because of the 2268 being the number of years that we add to 3282 to get the time of Adam, that could be a confirmation of that as well. So what else was there? 217. Yeah, there are a lot of things yet to try. The further on we get, the more it just begins. That's usually what happens, because this is such a long time ago, this time period. But we seem to have... I know what I was going to say. I think that this old chronicle is just approximate numbers, maybe, or something. We don't know. We're looking to make it accurate. We want to make it completely accurate, right? We don't want it to be approximate. This 30,000 years, it was for the son of Hephaestus, who was Helios, who ruled 30,000 years. Well, we made it not 30,000, you know, we calculated 28,000 to see if we could find out what that 30,000 was, or see if we could arrive at the same number. Chronos, it says, right? And the remaining gods, 3984 years. And then the demigods were kings for 217 years. I'm going to have to take more vitamin C. I can feel it. You know what? It could be a healing crisis, too. What I'm experiencing could be a healing crisis, because I've started taking some new vitamins, and that can cause you to have a change in your health where your body releases toxins, and that can cause you to get infections just because you release the infection agents from your bones. And so, or from somewhere, but your bones would be one place you could get it from. So I've got to take more vitamin C, right? So I think I want to take another vitamin C right now, but I don't have the water with me. I'll take it after the video, but I'm going to take some more slow-release vitamin C and try and prevent it that way. Just noticed my throat seems to be bothered a little bit more after starting this video, but it's not because of the video, I hope, but it's not something to do with the... Partly, yeah, because of the temperature, too. If I get cold in my body, then that's like catching a cold. It gives the infection a way to get a foothold in the body, right? So I may have to take more vitamin C because of that. The Akkadian word kuduru means boundary stone. Resuming our study now in the article, The Arc of Urartu to the Orient Express, Part 2, Chapter 9, Paragraph 10. The Akkadian word kuduru is boundary stone, but when used in personal names, it has a different meaning of firstborn son, since, to quote a famous example, Nabu Kuduri Yuzur, or Nebuchadnezzar, means, O God Nabu, preserve or defend my firstborn son. In Genesis, Chedorlaomer is KDRLMR, derives from a foreign language, according to Brown Driver Briggs, and starts KDR, which in Hebrew reads backwards, right to left, backwards for us in English, So that's the K on the right, and then we have the D and the R on the left. KDR is the same word as Keterleomer, or Kudur, at least. It starts with the Kudur part, similar to this Kuduru, which was a boundary stone, right? But it also meant firstborn son, which is fascinating. And that's the form in Hebrew of the word Kuduru, which is firstborn son, but it's a vowelless, it doesn't have the vowels in it, KDR. Hebrew wasn't written with vowels in ancient times. There were no vowels in the written part. So it's KDR is Kuduru, or firstborn son in Hebrew. That's remarkable. But perhaps most remarkable is that the Hebrew form of Kuduru is actually GDR. So in chapter 14 of Genesis, where the name Keterleomer appears, it's written as KDR in Hebrew. But the Hebrew word for Kuduru is GDR, with the G being the rightmost letter, then the D in the middle, and the R on the left, because Hebrew reads from right to left. So GDR begins thus with the letter G as Gudia. See, isn't that remarkable? It's more evidence that is in favor of this identification. And in Hebrew, this word, Nin, N on the right, then the I in the middle, and the N at the end of a Hebrew word is written differently. It's written like with a vertical stroke. And that word Nin in Hebrew means offspring or posterity. It's the same as the start of the name Ninus, N-I-N, in English. Or the first part of the word Nineveh in English, which also means firstborn or offspring. And the Hebrew word, by transliteration to English, is given as N-I-Y-N, Nin. Gudea ruled also from his being Urbau's son-in-law. And by the way, that expression Hebrew, N-I-Y-N, comes from the references 3 and 4, which are Strong's Concordance. The Strong's Concordance is a book that documents every Hebrew word in the Bible. That's where that came from. Now, Gudea ruled also from his being Urbau's son-in-law, thus he became equivalent to Urbau's firstborn son. Had we not held firmly to the faithful word as respects our art of teaching, we could never have concluded of Keterleomer in Genesis that he was both Ninus and Gudea. But we have, by holding firmly to the faithful word, and it is a great shout of praise to the glory of Jehovah. Reference 5 is from Titus, chapter 1, verse 9. But, you know, yesterday we were going to look at Galatians 3:17. I wonder if we've got time to do that. That was where it said, as to the covenant previously validated by God, the law that has come into being 430 years later does not invalidate it so as to abolish the promise. So, with the law having been given in 1493, just after the Exodus, in 1493 BCE, the covenant that was given, or validated rather, wasn't given then, but it was validated 430 years earlier in 1923. Which is when Joseph became second in command of all Egypt. That validated this covenant that Abraham had been given, that Jehovah was going to bless his offspring, right? And a very strong validation of that covenant. When in 1923, in our chronology, Joseph became second in command of all Egypt. It's very important from yesterday's study. Now in Titus 1 and 9 from today's study, we see holding firmly to the faithful word as respects his art of teaching. an overseer in verse 7 must be free from accusation. And verse 9, holding firmly to the faithful word as respects his art of teaching. So that was in the letter of Paul to Titus. Yeah, my throat seems to be okay. It's just if I talk too much, I think it gets a little dry. That's another way that you get a throat infection when your throat gets dry. So you should always try to keep it moist. Because if it's dry, that means there's no blood getting to it. Or not enough blood to keep the antibodies in the tissues that can defend the infection, right? So you want to keep your throat moist. I think that's important. And at night, when it gets dry, that's why a humidifier is so important. Maybe it's important to keep the humidifier cleaned, too, so that it's not producing bacteria in the air. But I think it's more crucial is the amount of vitamin C in your system. Really, infections are nothing more than a deficiency of vitamin C, you could say. Which is very interesting, is that's not true of every type of possible problem in life. It's not always a simple deficiency of one other thing. But in this case, it could be. Now, the name of Gudea's son... Oh, wait a minute, before we get to that. Here it is. Look, we were up, reference 5. We've still got some reading here in this paragraph. 9:10. We're in 9:10 of the Ark of Urartu, little ones. It was not by being exceptional chronologers that we found anything of value, but only by being faithful to the Word, Jehovah's Word. Of course, there will be more revelations upon the matter. Like infants, form a longing for the unadulterated milk belonging to the Word that you may grow to salvation. That's from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Abraham lived after the time of the city of Ebla, in whose libraries are recorded such names as resemble the names of Abraham's family and other Bible names, as we said before. When they dug up the city of Ebla, the archaeologists found these other names, which were, one of them was like Adamu, like the name for Adam. And I don't think, I was wrong about saying Jacob was there. I don't think the name Jacob was there, but there were a lot of other names. It was Abraham's, the time of Abraham. Jacob hadn't even been born yet. It was sort of before the time of Abraham. Okay. So, Abraham lived after the time of Ebla. But other Bible names were found there in this library. Even, I think, a name similar to Abraham's name, if I'm not mistaken. But as we said before, whatever they were, there were a lot of Bible names in there. This is as much a proof of times as of Abraham's location, right? It's such a phenomenal thing that it proves a lot of things. The name of Tudaya, also resembling one of the names of the four kings at Genesis 14, Tidal, king of Goyim, is evident, found in a treaty between King Tudaya and the king of Ebla. That was found, proving that this Tudaya or Tidal was real. He's a real king. Around that time, at least prior, well, around the time of Abraham, because actually, this is not found at Ebla, though, I think. This is found in the records of Naram Sin, because King of Tudaya and the King of Ebla. Oh, no, King of Ebla. It's King of Ebla and King of Tudaya, right. So this is found at Ebla. So there were records found that were of the time of Abraham, because that's of the time of Abraham. If Tudaya was the same king, because he was there in Genesis chapter 14 during the time of Abraham, Tidal. So, this is phenomenal. It's so real. The Bible's so real. It comes to life when you have these facts that from archaeology that back it up. The name of Gudea's son, Ur-Nin-Girsu, begins with a name for the city where Abram had lived early in his life, Ur, that is, ending with a compound, Ningirsu, the first part, Nin, a word for firstborn son, or Lord, very similar to Ninus, or to Nanna, the moon god, the temple of whom was at Ur. And Girsu just means lord, or, sorry, the city. It doesn't mean lord. Nin means lord. The word Girsu is the name of the city. Right? And the one seeking Jehovah, it means anyway, it means lord of Girsu. Nin Girsu is lord of Girsu. Whatever Girsu is, could be a person or a city, I think it's, or maybe both. But the one seeking Jehovah can understand everything. That's from Proverbs 28 and 5. And Psalms 34 and 12, just to conclude this paragraph, says, quote, who is the man that is delighting in life, that is loving days enough to see goodness, end quote. That concludes our study. We had lots of scriptures today, but that's it for today's study, December 17th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 1524 hours, Canadian Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much, Ona. You know what? It's a little early. We're going to have more time at the end. And thank you so much for listening and watching. This is Sissy, and this is Star, saying bye for now. And that was Chapter 9, Paragraph 10 of the Arc of Urartu, the Orient Express. Aren't we discovering things in this article? And this was one of the early articles. I think it was written after the article Moses, in fact, and I think that's what it was, which is surprising to me that that is true, but we can find that out, because at the end of this article, let's go and look, because we have time at the end here. Got a couple of minutes. We only have about less than a minute now or so, or 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes, certainly, I should say, but let's go down here and see what we can find. You see this? This is the writing of the Arc of Urartu. So before this article, which is number 10 of the series of articles that I wrote about chronology, the first four of which had nothing to do with the genealogy. They were just precursors to, you know, to my chronological study. Once I studied my family name and I started to discover by finding this book, the beginning of my discovery was finding the book by Charles Cross Thwaite from 1839, called Synchronology. That book was discovered right around the time when I wrote the article Green. But the article 10 is this one, came after Moses, which is article 9. And this, the Arc of Urartu, was originally published in 2010, but most of it was written. It was revised or written, part of it, in the year 2011. So, yeah, see, there's things I'm adding here. Chapter 2 added in part. All these different things are mentioned there. So we're at the end of our study for today. And thank you again for listening and watching. It means a lot, you know, to be made accountable by having an audience somehow. It just improves the work, I think, immeasurably. But that's just about all. We've got 7 seconds or so. So just enjoy, and bye for now.